ground.
Ward v. Rock against racism.
What happened? Joe.
Rock Against Racism was like a yearly program for Rock in New York. It was in Central Park, and they received a lot of noise complaints. So the city...
Start over again? Sorry, my brain wasn't processing.
Rock Against Racism was like a yearly program.
Like what kind of program? Like a television show program?
No, like, a program that spread awareness, because...
What type of awareness?
About racism.
That racism was good?
It was bad.
That racism was bad. Okay. How did they do it?
Through songs, like, they would have songs.
What? Kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya. Like that? They just...
No, they put, like rock in it.
Oh, so they had rock. Because clearly, rock and roll... Actually, that's heavy metal. Rock and roll, that clearly is against racism. Yeah. They have anything else?
Probably, like, programs, though.
Like what?
Like, stuff that talks about racism.
Who would talk about racism?
People!
Okay, so we got rock and people, and they think that racism equals bad. Correct, right? Okay, so how did they get their message out there? So we're in the middle of New York City, and we're in Central Park. Where is Central Park? Well, they just pull up on the street and open up a van and just have like...
They put signs up. Was it in Central Park? I don't know.
Where in Central Park was it?
At the band shell.
At a band shell. I'm just calling it a bandstand, make it easy. Well, we'll call it a band shell. Who owns the band shell?
City in New York.
City in New York. What the heck is Ra doing using this New York City-owned facility?
New York had them play because New York has
Did New York invite them to come in? So was this a city-run program?
No, I think they had. They asked if they could use it.
So RAR contacted the city to use the band shell so that way they could have their rock music and their peoples saying that racism is bad. Correct? Do you have a right to use government property? No. Why not?
I don't know exactly what, but it's like you don't have the right to. You can get permission.
Oh, you can get permission. How do you do that?
You like apply.
Okay, so they didn't just get to use the band shell. They had to apply. And what did they have to have in their possession to use it? A permit. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. How many times did RAR do their rocks and their peoples against racism?
Yearly.
yearly?
Several years, correct? All right. Now, here is the big question. Were there any issues? Donovan?
They were too loud.
They were too loud. Too loud. According to whom?
People who filed complaints in the city.
Okay, so they were people. So it wasn't the government necessarily complaining. It was the people. The people. Which people?
Citizens of New York City.
Okay. Citizens of New York City. Where were they? Were they at the show? Did they go? And were their ears bleeding as they're sitting there rocking and speeching against racism?
No, they weren't. They were like outside.
So it wasn't the people at the show that were complaining. There were people outside the show. Like where? Sheep Meadow. So there were some people in Sheep Meadow. Oh, that sounds tranquil. What's Sheep Meadow?
It's a place for passive recreation.
Where is it?
Right next to the concert.
So it's in the park?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so it's a place in the park. What do you mean passive? Would you say passive activities?
Yeah, like walking.
So if you're gonna walk, you don't want to hear like.
So I guess some people will.
Okay. All right. So anyone else complain?
The people who lived around Sheep Meadow.
Oh, so they were also residents. Residents complain. Did they just complain once? Multiple times. Okay. Do people have a right to complain to their government about government-sanctioned activity?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a First Amendment right to grieve. Okay. What did the government do about the complaints? Did they ignore them?
Well, they were getting complaints about, like, other concerts being too loud, so they...
Oh, so it wasn't just Ra that was being...
It was, like, other stuff, like, other performances, whatever. And
okay.
People were complaining about, like, all of them. So the government passed the...
Well, hold on. Before they did that, what did they do to Ra? I think they did it in 84, and I think they did it in 85.
They turned off the power.
At one point, didn't they pull the permit and pull the plug?
Yeah, and then they kept being...
And they were just ignoring the warnings. Okay. Okay. Do you have a right to be loud?
Yeah.
You do. In all circumstances, in all situations.
No. If there's nothing that says that you can't be,
then it's like time.
Wait, hold on. What did you say? I think it was clever.
I said if there's nothing that says you can't.
Okay, if there's nothing saying you can't be, then yeah. Then, wait, hold on. No, wait, now I'm confused. Because I thought we said that the government turned them down a couple of times, pulled the plug a couple of times. But there was nothing in place that said that they could only be so loud. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh. So did they fine Ra? Did they punish Ra? Did they ban Ra?
No.
They put up guidelines.
Oh, so after several years of incident, the government tried fixing it with guidelines. Okay, now we're getting to the bottom of things. Maybe. What did the guidelines say? Michael, do you know?
I think to reduce the sound equipment.
So to
control the sound.
To control this, who's going to control the sound?
The government.
All right. So now the government is going to control how?
By, I think, setting a rule.
Setting a rule that did what? What would all performers have to do? more bands and concerts bringing in their own gear. So the city is going to provide sound equipment. Is the city going to provide anything else? Who's going to control the equipment?
Yes.
Okay, so there we go. So the city is going to give an engineer as well. So they're going to use their own equipment, and they're going to bring in somebody who knows how to use their equipment. Okay. Was this only applicable to RAR? No. Everybody after 1986 had to play by these rules, right? All right. What was the justification by the city in making these guidelines?
Because it was so loud, it was like causing problems in the community.
Okay, so the motivation is we're going to protect, we'll just say neighbors. Anything else?
Some other bands had inadequate sound and sound technicians, which led to upset crowds.
Okay, so we're going to try to protect the crowds. Any of you ever go to a show that had a really bad mix? None of you have ever gone to like a concert?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
You're that sheltered? Well, I can say this much. As a one-time aspiring heavy metal rock and roll bass player who played many, many shows in many, many venues, you know the mix is bad when you look out in the crowd and they're kind of going like, eh. If you don't have the right mix, I don't care what kind of music it is, I don't care how good the song is, you're going to upset the people in the crowd. Because who wants to hear only the highest levels of treble or overwhelming bass to the point where it goes distorts? You know? So the city isn't just trying to protect the people who are in the area complaining. They're also looking to protect the people who are at the show. Okay, was the government trying to do anything else? Were they trying to control the types of music? Were they trying to control the types of artists? Were they trying to control the message?
No.
So there you're saying the only motivation they had was to simultaneously make sure the people that were there enjoyed themselves, and the people that were beyond were not intruded upon. Huh. Huh. What did Rod, well, yeah.
And also the performers too.
Oh, okay, that's, I hadn't thought about that one, okay. Protect performers.
Oh, sorry. By like making sure that they have the right equipment and a person who knows how to use it, like no matter what, because it said that some other bands had trouble using the, you know, making mixes and using the volume and all that.
I can't say this for the outside shows that I played, but definitely on the inside shows, the sound equipment that you have in house depends upon the venue.
Yeah.
If you have a system that's not powerful enough or overpowering, you know, that could basically impact the performer's performance. So what the city was not trying to do was not trying to say, no, no one can come. They were trying to find the perfect compromise so that way everybody would benefit. Okay. Now, was there any point in the application process when Rar was denied a permit. Was there any year that Ra was denied a permit?
No. Well, we know the guidelines were made in 1986. Anyone see what happened in 1985?
Is that when they had to shut off the power on?
Yeah, well, no, that was 1984 they shut the power off. 1985, the city initially denied them the permit.
And the city said, yeah, we're not going to give you a permit because of years past. We had to pull the plug. We had to shut the volume down. You were not cooperative, blah, 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 blah. Chuck?
The city declined to grant the event a permit, and that's when RAR sued.
Where did they go, though? Did they go to a state court, or did they go to federal court?
United States District Court.
Why do you think they were going to a district court? Why didn't they just go to a city court?
Probably to make their case better for the First Amendment.
Okay, okay. Where was Ra, the corporation, company, organized? It was actually London-based. So how could a British company sue New York in New York? No, so they would probably have to go because they are an international entity. And the proper forum, venue, for such claims would be federal district court, U.S. federal district court. So did they sue for money in 1985? What were they suing for?
To be able to use their own equipment.
Well, what were they looking for from the court?
Damages?
No, not initially. They were looking for an injunction. What's an injunction?
Is it like a pass?
What do you mean, like a pass?
What's the word? Like, it wouldn't apply to everyone else, but it applies to just them.
Well, it would definitely apply to the situation with the fact that they got denied a permit.
For the courts to step in?
To do what?
To give them a permit?
Yeah, so they weren't looking for damages, they weren't looking for money, they wanted a damn permit. So they were looking to get the court to basically force the city to give a permit. Which, of course, forced discussions. Because it was these discussions that, in part, led to the creation of the guidelines the following year. Because the city promised to agree by all of the rules of the city. So they gave the permit. But they broke it again in 1985. Which led to the guidelines. The guidelines were not necessarily aimed at RAR, but it was a reaction to what had been going on with RAR. And the city wanted to give the concert a chance to go. What happened when Ra learned of the guidelines? Because the guidelines were issued in March, and Ra wanted to play in May.
They added on to the court case?
They already had a claim in federal court, so they added on to it. And now what were they looking for?
Damages and declaratory judgment to break down the guidelines?
So they wanted not only to get compensation from the city, but they wanted this judge to declare these guidelines invalid on their face. What does that mean?
They're not, like,
facially invalid.
They're not active, like, they're not.
Anyone look up that phrase? Facially invalid? Got nothing?
No.
Did you do the case?
Yeah.
What do you got?
It's unconstitutional under all circumstances.
Yeah, so it's not like parts of it was wrong. They're saying the whole thing, all of these guidelines, all of the rules that were established are just unconstitutional completely. You know how we've dealt with some things that may have potentially been partially unconstitutional? Well, the RA wants to knock this down completely. Because what does RA want to do? They want to use their own sound equipment. Do they want to do anything else?
Be loud.
Well, who's going to control their sound equipment?
They
want to use their own engineer. Because what do they want to control?
How loud they are.
And not only how loud they are, but they also want to control the volume and the
mix.
Volume in the mix. So they want it to sound like exactly how they want it to sound. Okay. What happened during the trial? Did the city lose to RAR? Or did RAR prevail in the trial court?
In the trial court?
In the trial.
I think they lost.
Who's they?
RAR
lost. Is that true? Why?
The court sided with the city because they said the city's like regulation on like sound, how loud it was, to not violate the First Amendment, because it wouldn't inherently like change the message.
Were they trying to change the message?
No.
What were they trying to do?
Just turn down the volume.
Not only turn down the volume, but also
community, like protect the community, like people around.
So it's not just gonna, you know, we're not gonna be like old grandma and grandpa that thinks rock music's like the devil. No, none of that. We're gonna turn it down, but we're gonna control the mix. We're gonna control the quality and the level, which means we can not have it bleed outside of the performance area. The people that are in the show will get a good show, and we're gonna protect the performers. That was the only motivation in this, right? Did the city receive any complaints from anybody about the quality or the mix or the levels from any other performer?
No, they were all the bands and sponsors were pleased.
They were all pleased. Didn't they not show examples where there was one instance when they went out and changed the mics to help opera singers, and there was people that went out in the crowd, and did they not also allow the sponsors to have a say in the individual mixes? So the district court decided, because they accommodate, because they're working with them, because of their motivations, then that was valid under time, place, and manner. Was RAR happy with this outcome? So what did they do?
Try to go to the court of appeals.
They put an appeal. Now, can you appeal because you lose?
No.
What are the grounds for the appeal?
Something had to go wrong on behalf of the government.
There has to be an error, right, in the trial. What was the error that they were claiming?
Well,
So what they're claiming was that where the trial court said the city did fine under this test, the RAR is saying no, it was a violation of this test, which means there's a violation of the First Amendment. How do we know that? Well, what happened at the appeals court? Did the appeals court affirm, reverse, or remand the decision below?
I think it was reversed.
They reversed it. Why?
They agreed that they had a substantial government interest, but they also said it wasn't narrowly tailored.
Oh, so okay, they are agreeing that these are substantial interests. But the issue was on narrowly tailored requirements of the time, place, and manner test. What do you mean by narrowly tailored?
Like there was other means they could have gone about doing it that were more specific.
Oh. So the appeals court is basically saying because there were other means, other ways. Were these other ways more effective? You got three answers here. It's either a yes or a no or a maybe.
Yeah, I'll say maybe.
Good answer. Because do you know definitively for sure if they installed a volume limiting device, if that would have protected these people? Do you know for certain if the city pulled the plug, that would have protected these interests? No, so they might have, but we don't know. So what the appeals court is saying essentially is that narrowly tailored basically means that if the government puts a restriction and there's any other possible alternative, that that's not satisfactory. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's literally what the appeals court said. The court found that because there were less restrictive alternatives available, the city's guidelines were not the least intrusive. They should have done something else. All right, was the city happy about this? You think the city was?
No.
No, so what did the city do? Where did they go?
Supreme Court.
All the way up to the SCOTUS. And by the way, if they didn't get up to the SCOTUS, would we be talking about this? Probably not. All right. Any questions with other than this? So, we need to focus on time, place, and manner. We also need to focus on the error of the appeals court. Whether this guideline was narrowly tailored. What's the issue? What is the issue before the Supreme Court?
If the government needs to choose the least restrictive alternative in imposing time, place, and manner restrictions on speech.
Boom! Right there. This is what the Supreme Court is looking at. Do they care about what type of rock and roll music was played? Do they care what type of speeches were given?
No.
The only thing the Supreme Court is looking at is the claimed error. And the error is very simple. whether the government needs to choose the least restrictive alternative in imposing time, place, and manner restrictions on speech. Now let's do the spoilers. Did the majority believe that a government entity would have to choose the least restrictive means or not? No. Very good. So we're doing well. We got the issue. Now we understand the holding. The holding is no. The government does not do. Well, here is where it gets complicated. Why?
They said that it was a reasonable regulation of the place and manner of protected speech.
Okay, wait, well, hold on a second. I thought we were talking about a concert. What does that have to do with speech? Ooh. You know what that's called?
That's called a curveball.
Music is speech, they said.
Wait, How is that speech? Well, I know what the opinion said, but I need an interpretation of the opinion. How is music speech?
It conveys a message to an audience and the audience understands.
We dealt with this case already before. We can have means of expression being speech. Does it convey a message? And is that message reasonably understood? Alright, so racism is bad. Racism is bad. No dispute about the message, right? They're trying to convey the idea. Are these fighting words? Is these words proving to be a clear and present danger, which the government has a substantial interest in preventing? No, it's speech. Therefore, it gets First Amendment protection. Ah, very good. Is RAR claiming their speech was restricted? They are. Why?
Because they argued that by the government controlling how they express themselves, it's a limitation.
Yeah, but was it not they were being restricted because of the type of music? That's not part of their claim?
Their claim.
Yeah, so RAR is claiming in part that New York is imposing these guidelines because it's rock and roll. That's heavy metal. I listen to metal. I don't really listen to rock. I listen to rock and roll too. But, okay, so rock and roll. Rock and roll is being discriminated against. That's problematic. Did the court even go down that rabbit hole? No, the court completely ignored that argument. They didn't go into it at all. So instead, what did they focus on? Oh, wait, hold on. Why did they not go down that rabbit hole?
It was applied to every other concert. It wasn't just the...
Okay, that's true. But here's the question. Does the government, and this is a general question to keep in mind, does the government that owns, I'm going to keep it simple, I'm going to say a facility, does the government that owns a facility have a right to select who and what uses it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. That was the whole first part of the opinion. that there was no dispute over that. There was no dispute. And there also was no dispute that the government, the city, was using this right against Rar. Again, we're undermining their arguments. Because New York only was focused on, well, they weren't focused on what type of music was played. They only focused on the quality of what was played. All performers could use it. Even performances that had a track record of being problematic, like Rar. Okay. So we're done with that issue. No discrimination, because rock music. Time, place, manner. What's the test?
The O'Brien test.
What?
The O'Brien test?
No, I want to know what are the prongs of time, place, and manner test. Because this is the test we're going to use to determine the outcome of this case.
It must be content neutral.
Well, hold on a second. Before we get to that point, can the government impose reasonable restrictions on when, where, and what type of speech is presented? Okay, so we start our test with the acknowledgement that government may impose reasonable restrictions on time, place, manner, speech, provided what?
It has to be content neutral.
Provided that it's content neutral. What else?
Narrowly tailored to serve significant government interest.
Narrowly tailored to serve government interest. Anything else?
Provides alternate means to communicate the same content.
Provides alternative means. So if I was to give you a quiz on Wednesday, and if I was to ask you what is the time, place, and manner test, this is hypothetically how you would answer it. All right. So now you know what we got to do. We got to start playing with the prongs and not the band. Prong number one. Content neutrality. Can somebody tell me how do we deem if a regulation is content neutral?
I mean, in this case, it's not, because they're only regulating.
That's not what I'm asking. I need to know, how do we determine if it's content neutral? Anybody? Got it?
Can you say because it applies to all performance, regardless of their message?
Kind of. The court actually used precedent. case law to explain it.
Is it like the context of the speech?
First, the purpose of the restriction. Why is the restriction there? Restriction's content neutral if the reason for the restriction has nothing to do with the content. So we're not restricting people because of what they are saying. And two, incidental effect on some, not others. So a regulation is deemed neutral by the court if, one, it serves purposes unrelated to the content of the expression, and two, it doesn't matter that it has an incidental effect on some speakers or messages and not others. In other words, it does not have to be 100% perfect. As long as you're not aiming to censor based on what they are saying. The fact that maybe you want to play at 11, but the government's going to keep you at 5, that doesn't matter. Even if you don't think the music sounds as good at a lower level. All right. Question. Why did the city make the guidelines?
To control the volume and the mix.
Why?
Because it was too loud for residents, the crowd, and for some bands, it didn't sound as good.
Were they only putting that in there because of certain types of music?
No.
Okay. Okay. Now, does listening to some type of music at lower levels impact the enjoyment factor for some listeners?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, but is that important?
No.
Not at all. Not at all. So here, is this guideline, is it content neutral? The city's guidelines. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because ultimately, the city's interest is ensuring the quality of sound. Not what type of music is played, but the quality. Tangential. Was Rod satisfied with that? Why not? What did Rod argue? To supposed content neutrality. It was a specious argument, to say the least, if you know what that word means. Very simple. Rar was arguing, no, it's not contact neutral. Sorry, not contact, content neutral. Because they were claiming that the quality of sound was equal to speech. So the regulating of the quality was somehow equal to regulating speech. But the problem is were they denied speech, RAR,
no.
At any point?
Yes.
only after
that they didn't listen to the rules and they defected in 85. Right?
Okay, was there at any point when the city did not give them advance warning to any type of punishment or penalty they imposed? Did they not always receive multiple warnings? Turn it down, turn it down, turn it down, turn it down, turn it down. And a couple of times they had to go, yoink. But the government never once, the moment the first ban went, brum, government didn't pull the plug. Okay. So that argument's bogus. So, under the facts as they're provided, the Supreme Court says that this guideline is in fact content neutral. But because of the time, we're not going to have the ability to look on the other prongs. So make sure you go all the way down in the case, look for Roman numeral 2 and 3. Because that's where it talks about these two prongs. And we'll pick it up on Wednesday. The other thing that I'm going to throw out to you is, as I said to like the three people that were here on Friday, was where are we going next? I'm done with speech. We've done nothing but speech. What do we want to look at next? Do we want to look at association? Do we want to look at religion, freedom of religion? Do we want to look at Second Amendment? Oh my God, do I dare say abortion? What do we want to look at? What next liberty do we want to focus on? Pick your poison.
Second Amendment?
I'm cool with it.
How many people would like to look at Second Amendment cases next? Show of hands.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, say it's a majority.
All right, so I will start putting some Second Amendment cases up, and that's where we'll go next. We'll only do a couple of them, because then we'll have another chance. We got a couple more weeks left, so a chance to do something else as well. All right? Make sure you want to be prepared for a potential quiz. Dom, dom, dom.